Pete, you made me cry, unfortunately, during an NPR program in which they called you and they asked you about the death of Burl Ives. And Burl Ives had not been friendly during a very critical period during the House Un-American Activity hearings and stuff. And you had an answer which was so charitable and so distinguished.
Forgot what I said.
I'll remind you. You said something like, Burl Ives has forgiven me my excesses or whatever, and I forgive him. And it was such a charitable, nice thing to hear from you. I wondered whether you have any chance to reflect on that.
Well, we didn't speak to each other for like 50 years. But he was a leading character actor in Hollywood and very possibly owed a lot of money, as Josh White did, which is quite, I'm sure, why Josh White testified for that foolish, very evil committee called the House Committee on Un-American Activities. After they testified, I didn't speak to Josh for 30 years. We embraced when I met him at Newport. He came to Newport Folk Festival. And Burl agreed to come to a concert at the 92nd Street Y, and I agreed to come there, and we embraced. He had leukemia, didn't have long to live. Yeah, I think forgiveness is an important thing. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made a huge lot of mistakes. I've already told you about a few of them, of accepting royalties for songs that I only helped write, but I didn't send any royalties to the place where the music came from, or in the case of Turn, Turn, the words came from. One of the main mistakes I've made was behaving like most men, thinking that my job was to go out and make a living and let the woman stay home and raise the kids. And I was away 1 year 75% of the time, left my wife to raise the kids while I was gallivanting around the world. I have a cartoon up on my wall showing a woman answering the phone. She's got a broom in one hand, and she's pushing a big pile of dirty laundry in the other hand, and a kid is tugging at her skirt. And she's saying, no, he's not here. He's out trying to save oppressed people. And face it, there's a lot of men who thought they were doing just the right thing, but they were not doing as much the right thing as perhaps they thought.
Tell me what happened with the Smothers Brothers. I've always wondered about that.
Tommy and Dick Smothers are two great guys, and they know the value of humor. You know, one of the things that's going to save the human race is humor. I am serious. That's why I do this English is Crazy song everywhere I go, and why I wrote this other song called To Rearrange and Rearrange and Rearrange, where I get the whole audience to sing a four-letter word at the top of their lungs, because humor may be one of the main things which will save us, because we're doing terrible things to each other. We're doing terrible things to the world. And how do we reach each other? I'm a great fan of political cartoons. Some of the best parts of newspapers, they let cartoonists do things which they don't let reporters do. They don't let editorial writers do. And I've seen some wonderful cartoons in papers. I've found there's an organization of political cartoonists. I think if there's a world here in 100 years, it may be the cartoons will save us. Music may help.
But the Smothers Brothers, there was that famous time when you were censored on their show.
Well, first of all, in the month of March or April, their show was the top show in the country. And Columbia Broadcasting System says, what can we do for you to make you happy? The show's doing great. They said, let us have Seeger on. Well, let's think about it. I'd been blacklisted for 17 years. I'd done some syndicated shows. I was on Playboy's Penthouse Party with all those bosomy young women. And I was on the David Susskind show, where a person in the audience stood up and said, Mr. Seeger, are you blacklisted? And I said, I don't know. I have no way of knowing. All I know is I don't get any jobs. Susskind looked me right in the eye. Mr. Seeger, I can tell you, you are blacklisted. Well, this was 1967. Dick and Tom said, let us have Seeger on. Columbia said, well, let us think about it. In October, they relented. Okay, you can have Seeger on. I sang Waist Deep in the Big Muddy.
Right.
One of my better songs.
It certainly is.
It didn't mention President Johnson by name, but it implied that he was a damn fool for not getting out of Vietnam. We were waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Well, let's
sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be nervous, Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination. Men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool said to push on.
The tape was made in Los Angeles and then sent east. The CBS higher-ups listened to it, and they let me be on the program, but they censored that one song. They took that song out.
Yes, because I remember you were standing there either with a guitar or banjo.
No, I was standing there with a banjo, and next thing you know, I had a guitar in my I was standing with a guitar, and next thing I had a banjo in my hand.
Right.
I think the person who did the cut purposely made it obvious.
They wanted the people to know that you had been censored.
It was cut. Well, Tommy and Dick made use of the print media, which is a competitor to the airwaves, and they got their point across. So CBS is censoring our best jokes and censoring Pete's best song, and I guess they got a lot of publicity out of it. Finally, in January, CBS says, okay, he can sing the song. On one day's notice, I flew out to Los Angeles, and now I did a batch of soldier songs. In fact, one of them is one of my favorite songs in the world. It's called The D-Day Dodgers, about the British 8th Army in Italy during World War II. We are the D-Day Dodgers in sunny Italy. It has humor, it has sadness, sarcasm, all tangled up. It's one of the world's great songs, written by a Scottish folklorist, Hamish Henderson. And then I sang Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, and this time it went on the air and 7 million heard it, and even more heard about it. I haven't been asked on TV that much in recent years. I did get on the Today Show once, and I knew that they wouldn't want me to sing a certain song, so I was prepared. I arrived at like 6 o'clock, and over the intercom, the director says, Pete, what you got for us? And I said, well, I got a little banjo tune, and I got something a little more serious. It's a funny song, but it's got a serious point. Well, let's hear them. So I sang the banjo tune. Fine. I sang the other. It's called Garbage, which has the whole crowd going garbage, garbage, garbage. In Mr. Thompson's factory, they're making plastic Christmas trees complete with silver tinsel.
Complete with silver tinsel and a geodesic stand. The plastic's mixed in giant vats from some conglomeration that's been piped from deep within the earth or strip mined from the land. And if you question anything, they say, why don't you see? It's absolutely needed for the economy. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. Their stocks and their bonds, all garbage. What will they do when their system goes to smash? There's no value to their cash. There's no money to be made. But there's a world to be repaid. Their kids will read in history books about financiers and other crooks and feudalism and slavery and nukes and all their knavery.
To history's dustbin they're consigned, along with many other kinds of garbage, 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 garbage. Well, they said, Pete, you got something a little more cheerful. This is early in the morning. So I sang Walking Down Death Row. I sang for three men destined for the chase. Pete, do you have something else? If a revolution comes to my country, let me remember. Well, Pete, I guess we'll stick with garbage. The whole studio broke up. The cameraman, the prop man said, yeah, we'll stick with garbage. Well, I got to do it on the air, but I wasn't asked back. I haven't been on the Today Show since.